All right, lads. This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcast and network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Mortzilla. Seeing you guys win the first ever Oberhausen Open, the tournament that I created, makes me so sick. And seeing you both celebrate like that was agonizing to watch. So, you know what I've gone and done? I've trained harder, thought about it harder, been really, really coming to grips with what I'm going to be facing now when I go to Oberhausen for 16 Karat Weekend. And the Oberhausen Open too, I will not let the same mistakes happen again. You see, Mort, Mark Davis, I've got myself a partner. A big partner. A big, strong partner. And he's from Japan. So guys, you just wait. Friday night, Nippy's Bowling Palace, Oberhausen, Germany. I'm bringing the big man from Japan. That's right. I got Daisuke Sekimoto. See you there, boys.
Sometimes you get bored of N64, so let's watch wrestling till our eyes get sore. We love the Tivoli, but there's so much more. Wrestling round the world, making friends and making times, and wrestling round the world
with Serum Serum.
So it's official, Daisuke Sekimoto is playing in the Oberhausen Open, everybody.
I'm really happy about it. Sarah's absolutely ecstatic about it. She gets to team with Daisuke. As you just heard from her, she's pretty confident. I'm just recording this because some people wanted me to talk about my experience that I had last night. I'm in Boston for work at the moment. I'm not on holidays. I'm not on vacation. I'm working hard. So I'm here by myself. Some of my Irish colleagues are getting in tonight and tomorrow, so I'll see them over the next few days, but I arrived alone on Tuesday night, quite late, after a 4-hour delay. Aer Lingus again, they fucked me over when I was going to WrestleMania and getting married last year. Getting married, of course, more important, but we did book to go to WrestleMania, we didn't book to get married, but then we got married, so yeah. But anyway, they completely fucked us over then, again. Flight was delayed. Well, flight wasn't working, so we had to get off the plane and get onto another plane. Arrived very, very tired. I had my theory test that morning at like 9 a.m. So wasn't work Monday, wasn't college Monday night. Went home from college Monday night around 10 o'clock, started to study for my theory test, got up at 6 a.m. to bring all my bags into my office and to do another little bit of study before I took it. Passed the theory test, yay, go me. Should have done this about, 10, 12, 13, 14 maybe years ago. But I've done it now, it's done. I have my theory test. It was actually quite difficult. But anyway, moving on. I got to Boston. I've been trying to fill my time in the evenings. This is totally not relevant, not what you want to hear. But I went to see the Bruins, the ice hockey team. Went and did a bit of shopping. But then Friday evening came, I was working hard, Alan was kind of messaging me saying, you know, you should see if there's any wrestling on. I'd asked around, I did ask Joe Gagne about it previously, and he pointed out that Evolve was here in 2 weeks' time, but obviously I wasn't here for it. So Joe pretty much said there was no wrestling, but that's not true. There was wrestling. There were options. Alan dug a little bit further, he found some options for me. Also people on Twitter helped out, but I was working when all this was going on. Like, it was the evening in Ireland, so Alan was off and able to do stuff, and he was egging me on to go, and we found a show, and the main event was Gangrel versus Jeff Jarrett, and yeah, like, why not? So I finished work around 5:30, The night before, there was a rule at the stadium that you couldn't bring like large bags in. So I couldn't bring, I was just feeling like maybe I shouldn't bring my work stuff with me. So I went back to the hotel first. I knew it wouldn't be quite as strict as the TD Garden, St. Michael's Hall. But you know, you just want to be a little bit safe. So I brought all my gear back to the hotel. Looked up how to get there. Seemed easy enough. One tram, one bus. Fine. Tram goes from down the road. I got the tram to the ice hockey the night before. So I got to the trams. Trams were down, probably due to the snow. Not entirely sure. Electrical fault. There was no signs up. There was just announcements about these shuttle buses that were replacing them. But it was also in the area where there was real buses and there was nowhere to get a ticket. And I was very confused. And then I noticed that one of the buses said North Station, which is where I went to the night before to get the get to the ice hockey. So I hopped on that with no ticket, because I didn't know how long I'd be waiting. Full of adrenaline, going to grabs, jumped on the bus, was feeling really, really anxious that I was going to get caught and in trouble, but also that I just give it a bit of a, how are you? Yeah, I just arrived from Ireland today. Oh, you have to buy a ticket, do you? I thought like the tram was broken, so we got this kind of, I had it all mapped out in my head, but it was fine. So I got off at the tram station. I was really hungry at this point too, because I didn't get a lunch break. I got some snacks in the canteen, didn't get to go out, didn't have anything decent to eat since breakfast, so I was hoping to stop somewhere and grab some food, but the opportunity just didn't really present itself, because when I got to where the bus was to take me to the thing, the bus was already there. Again, I hopped on with no ticket. I had to ask the bus driver this time because I didn't want to chance it again, and he got really confused, and I thought he was asking me for a debit card, but he was talking about a Charlie card, and I've never heard of a Charlie card. Maybe some of our listeners have. But he said I could pay cash, but he didn't really want me to pay cash because the lowest bill I had was $10 and the ticket was only $5, so he had to give me this voucher as a change, which I'll probably never use, but I can leave it in the hotel. Maybe somebody working here will use it, I don't know. So got on this bus. It was fine. Like, it didn't stop for about a half hour, and then it started stopping everywhere, like constantly. At one stage, I did get a bit nervous. The guy who got on the bus, who wasn't at the start, was like standing behind me near the door, and I was wearing like my Bose headset. It's quite expensive, and I didn't understand why he was standing like right behind me on the bus when there were so many seats free. But he was standing there, and I was like, oh, okay, this just. He might just grab my headset and jump out the door here. So, like, he was leering over me. Like, there was really strange that we wouldn't do that. So I was just getting kind of really bad vibes. So I pretend I was charging my headset and my headphones in my handbag. And, I've kept looking at my phone, seeing where I was going in the middle of nowhere. It's called Lynn, Massachusetts, getting to the St. Michael's Hall. I had no idea what the St. Michael's Hall looked like. I didn't Google it. I was just going to the Graps. Because what else was I going to do last night? Like, get home and, you know, there's nobody up to talk to. The Wi-Fi in the hotel isn't good enough to watch Netflix. Like, I do have some audiobooks downloaded, which are quite good. But besides that, it'd be work again, take up my laptop, do some work, or, you know, listen to an audiobook or something. I haven't turned on the TV since I've been here since Tuesday, and it's now Saturday night, so American TV is just not for me. I might turn it on later, I'll see. So on the way to the wrestling, kept looking at my phone. Battery was kind of dwindling at this stage, so I never got a chance to charge my phone. I got an alert saying my data was quite low, because you get 200 megs a day over here, which is kind of, it's okay if you're just browsing, but it can run out some days, and I wasn't sure what my credit situation was, so I was like, oh, I better preserve some data now, because don't want to get stuck in Lynn, Massachusetts with no data or no battery. So that's why there was no photos or anything up during it. But anyway, my bus arrived. I got off. I was safe. I was home in peace. And then I looked at my Google Maps and I said it would take me 3 hours and 20 minutes to walk to the venue, which was not what I wanted to see. So a bit of panic set in. I was on the side of a motorway, really kind of residential area, not many people around. So I tried Google Maps again, and then it said 5 minutes to walk, and I was like, oh, phew, that's fine. So again, I was looking for somewhere to eat. At this stage, it was like just gone 7, like I think it was like 7:02, and the show started at 7, and I was like, oh, I'll get there. They might have some food there. Might have a pretzel or something that'll just fill me. So I started walking through this residential area. There was nobody around. There was no Bullet Club t-shirts. There was no OTT hoodies. There was no Villain Club. I don't know who else. I don't know. There was no wrestling fans around. There was no buzz. There was nobody drinking cans. There was nobody standing in a queue. There was nothing. There was houses. So got to realize quite quickly, the St. Michael's Hall just looked like this big warehouse. I was like, fine, that's it. There's lots of steps up. I'll go and take a look in here. So I went up steps. Again, nobody around. Opened the door. I was thinking I was late at this stage, but yeah, the people at the door are nice. They asked me what ticket I wanted. I was happy to take a GA. I was going to stand. I didn't really know what I was going to do with myself. Everyone at the door was quite nice. I was able to pay. There was huge queues. First thing I saw when I went in, huge, huge queues of people, and they were queuing to get a photograph taken with Jeff Jarrett and Teddy Long. Gangrel was sitting there by himself looking scowdy. He had a can. I'm not sure if it was alcohol or just like a tall can, but he had a can. He was sitting there just looking scowdy as Jesus. He looked tired. Like, I was like, Gangrel, lad, you don't want to go to bed for yourself. Like, seriously, he just didn't look... Yeah, he's rough, like, rough, you know, I don't know. Like, I saw him wrestle when I was in, what, sixth year in school in, like, the Dungarvan Sports Centre where I used to play basketball, like an actual basketball hall. And teenage schools used to be there too. I used to go dancing there. Saw him wrestle there, like, that long ago, and he's not looking any better. He's actually looking quite a bit worse. Saw Teddy Long, he was dressed in a nice suit. Teddy was looking well. I didn't actually look at Jeff Jarrett, I was just feeling a bit awkward. But everyone was like in these queues, there was nobody really around the other areas. So, went about getting some food. I saw there was pizza, I was like, oh yes, pizza, great. Cheese slices, pepperoni slices, excellent. Cheese, no, there's not going to be any onions, there's not going to be any meat. Get a cheese slice of pizza, sorted. Went up to get one, $3. Got a slice of pizza. Was like, oh, I'd probably eat about two of them, maybe three. I'll just get one and see how it is. I asked for a Coke and the woman was like, is a Pepsi okay? And I said, yeah. And then she was like, oh, do you not remember that ad? And I was like, no. And she was like having a big old laugh. And then she sent me to the bar because she didn't have a Coke or a Pepsi. I don't know what the fuck was going on. But I went over to the bar. I was queuing at the bar. I was like, oh, I can have a beer, but... I didn't bring any ID and I just don't want the hassle now, so Coke will do me fine. So the bartender then decided to take the piss out of my accent for a while. I don't know, I still tipped him. But I tipped him without him seeing, you know that tip? Like, so he, even though he got tipped and the people around me knew he got tipped, he didn't know that he got tipped by me, but he did. But I don't know, I think he still wins. But yeah, he was taking the piss out of my accent and I was kind of like, yeah, I just feel a bit awkward here now because I'm on my own, but yeah, it's fine. It wasn't like in an awful way, but it was just kind of wasn't funny either. Like, there was no, whatever. So I went for a walk around. There wasn't many people sitting down yet. I was surprised. This stage is about 7:10, maybe 7:15. Shows you'd start at 7. Walked around the merch area, saw that they had like the old Bendham figures, like the 80s ones. I had a Junkyard Dog one when I was a kid. Like, and even when I had it, it was pretty old then. Like, it was probably bought after it had been out for a while. I'm not quite that old, but I noticed that they had like Hillbilly Jim and George the Animal Steel and a few other people all in this bin, and they all look gross, like they were covered in dirt and they were chewed up. I put a photo on Twitter. There was also some newer ones, like 90s kind of Bendhams and stuff, and I was tempted to buy some, but the people who were selling them looked like the real alternative types, and they were wearing big time wrestling t-shirts. And I was just a little bit shy. I had looked at the DVDs. They had the Best Friends DVDs. Shout out to Sarah Flan. I wanted to like message her and stuff, but I kind of couldn't. I was just worried about the data. So I was having to look around. Then I went over, saw t-shirts. They were selling all WWE t-shirts. Shawn Michaels. Ultimate Warrior. Some of them weren't bad, actually. Some of them like the classic kind of a look to them. And others were just god awful. Yeah, so they're kind of mixing the merch. Like, there was WWE DVDs, but there was also, like, they had the Best of Eddie Edwards, who was meant to be on the show, but wasn't on the show. I don't know what happened there. He was on the poster. That happens a lot, I'm sure. But no, he wasn't there. So, yeah, I looked around. They had some signed stuff as well, and there was a really nice print of Luger and Sting together that was signed. I was like, this is fake as fuck. Do I want to spend $40 on this and have to try and mind it for the night? I might come back at the end of the show for it. I'll think about it. And then, yeah, I just didn't. I didn't buy anything at the show. I probably should have bought some kind of a souvenir, truth be told. Photo of Teddy Long or something. But yeah, I was just feeling very awkward. So I sat in the back row by myself, and there's a group of women to my left. They were definitely like into it. They had definitely been a few times before. They knew people there. They weren't like, I don't know how to say, but like they had some comments that were just a bit, oh god. In particular in the women's match, one of them just goes, I'm not sitting here looking at two chicks. I was like, all right, yeah. But she did sit there and watch the two ladies wrestle. But she was like, I ain't sitting here watching the two chicks. And I was like, oh god. Yeah, but they were wearing like Hardy Boy sweatpants and like really gross kind of, like, anyone knows, like the t-shirts, the wrestling t-shirts you sell in like Tremor, like just rotten, like printed fake WWE t-shirts, and they had Hardy Boys tracksuit bottoms, and there was a guy with The Undertaker booger red t-shirt, you know, with the face on it. That was an official one. He had the face on it, and he had a service dog with him, a military dog. The dog looked cool as fuck. He was with those guys, but yeah, that dog was pretty cool. And then on my other side, a family sat down, two kids. The little girl was really into it. She was sitting, well, standing right beside me. She stood in her chair for the whole thing and screamed and screeched, and it was fine though. She was really into it, and she was like booing the heels and cheering the faces. The only kind of negative was that like she'd pick up on some of the things that like the adults were saying and go with it, and it was just kind of like, because what the adults were saying wasn't very smart. Like what she came up with herself was a lot better than what she had heard from the adults and kind of went with. At one stage, one of the guys shouted, take your clothes off, at the ladies match, which was it's Ashley Edwards from TNA. I might have that wrong. I think that was her name. And what was the other lady's name? Luscious Natasha. Yeah, so they were having a fine match, but nobody gave a fuck. But somebody just shouted, take your clothes off. And then the little girl started chanting, take your clothes off. And I was like, no, please stop this, mum. Like, her parents, the kid's parents looked pretty normal and very kind of, they'd be in the higher percentage of the people in this crowd for just looking kind of, I don't know, like, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but like normal and kind of decent. I probably sound horrible now for nana notions of me, but there is not many people I could see working with me in an office in this crowd. There's a lot of missing teeth. There was a lot of dirty clothes. There was some smells. There was just a lot of belts as well, like people carrying title belts. There was a lot of like old WWE merch. That was the weird thing for me, like 90s, 2000s WWE merch in the crowd. Just bizarre. Like, I saw one or two Bullet Club t-shirts. I didn't see like anything kind of that I would I recognize the stuff, but I didn't see anything kind of cool. Like, there was no WXW or OTT t-shirts or PWG or Ring of Honor even. Like, it was WWE merch, and a few people had t-shirts of the locals, which is good to see. One of the guys in the first match was probably the most over wrestler on the card. Teddy Goods was his name, and the crowd loved this guy. He wrestled a guy called Retrosexual, and he was accompanied to the ring by the Platinum Honeys. And Retro looked like LJ, if LJ didn't sleep or like shave for a month. It was something to see. The wrestling on the show wasn't as bad as I expected. Like, all the guys were in good shape. Most of them were pretty tall, like. Not that that matters, but, like, they did have bodies. They did look like the real deal, like. Probably even, like, the wrestlers on this card probably had a better kind of overall look than what you'd see in, like, Ireland or England, typically. Like, for a typical wrestling kind of a show. And nobody was, like, completely awful or anything. Honestly, like, it's just the venue was really gross. sort of like Contenders Ringside Club, but a lot grittier. Like, there was dirty ceilings and there was these horrible chandeliers. There was nothing posh about these chandeliers. They were just awful looking things. Get back to my pizza. My pizza was not good. I only had the one slice of that, and then I pulled the Clif Bar out of my bag and had that, and I was like, right, I'll be grand now till I get home. I'll just... I was not going back for more pizza, but I did eat it. It was grand-ish, like, probably the worst pizza. Like, if you're ever a student and, like, you bought those 60-cent pizzas in Lidl, like I did, like, and times are tough, and, you know, it was like a slice of one of them, to be honest. That was kind of a bit cold. But it was edible, like, it was just cheese and tomato, like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't eat meat, but I don't know if I'd be eating that meat now if I was a meat eater. Just, oh, no. But I didn't get sick, so whatever. But yeah, there were some characters in this crowd. Like, there was a guy in the crowd that looked like your typical, like, TV, like, hobo type character that would be in, like, a sitcom. Like, he was a parody, this man. He was wearing, like, two jackets that were kind of hanging off him. He was probably 50s, maybe. Deceptive, could be either way. He had long, matted grey hair, an unruly beard. He was definitely dirty, like, his clothes and his face were dirty. And he was sitting right in the middle of a crowd, not on my side. He was giving, like, the middle finger to everyone that he didn't like, and jumping up out of his seat the whole time. And yeah, it was just, you know, he didn't like the dancer and the bad wrestlers. Like, he was really into it. He was kind of away from me, so that didn't, you know, I was just kept looking at him. He was a bit of a highlight. Yeah, he was mad as a bag of spiders. Like, he was, yeah, he was just, yeah, one stage he didn't like Dirty Daddy, Chris Dickinson from Evolve, who was the one independent wrestler that I knew on the show. He was quite good in his match as well, but he won his match against a local sort of babyface. He was a local, they announced him as the hometown hero, but the guys behind me, standing behind me, they were debating. They were like, no, he's not from here, he's from Salem, fuck him. They really didn't appreciate him being called a hometown hero, and he wasn't from Lynn. They were like, oh, maybe you're from, I don't know, someplace, but it's like, you're from Salem, maybe some other town, you're not from Lynn. So they weren't, like, even though he's meant to be babyface, but this kind of grey-haired guy, yeah, he didn't like that the hometown guy got beaten. I guess he believed he was a hometown guy, and he was getting very aggressive towards, like, Chris Dickinson, and Chris Dickinson went over and was, like, gesturing, like, suck it to the homeless guy. And, like, he probably wasn't homeless, but, yeah, very kind of stereotypical TV type homeless type guy, for the best way I can put it. Gesturing, like, suck it, and I was like, this is fucking wild. And then the homeless guy just turns to him and said, like, gestures that, like, Chris Dickinson has a small dick. And, like, I just fucking howled, and I was like, oh my god. And then everyone was kind of, like, the people beside me were looking at me, and, like, the crowd of women and the guy with the dog, they were, like, kind of sussing me, like, what the fuck was I doing there? Like, I was still dressed in my work clothes, which, like, I don't wear a suit, but I was dressed quite well, you know, because I was going to an office, you know, that, like, I'm new to. So I was, like, yeah, business casual kind of up, if you know what I mean. So yeah, they were kind of checking me out. They were wondering who I was there to see, or maybe they weren't, maybe they didn't give a shit, but yeah, they definitely, they seemed to know a lot that what was going on. And I just don't know, it was, there was, yeah, the crowd just seemed like they were all living very, very hard lives, you know, they're having it tough. But yeah, the other matches, there was tag team, there was a guy, I think it's Bobby Ocean. He was quite good in his match, he was the local guy. Like, all the guys, the ladies as well, like, they looked like proper wrestlers. Like, none of them looked like slobs or slouches or anything like that. Definitely, like, it kind of, one of the things kind of, it struck me, like, that you hear independent wrestlers, like, say stuff like, oh, the marks and that, like, not just trying to be heels or whatever, but kind of, like, trying to put over that, like, wrestling fans are dumb and, like, the wrestlers are better and all this, and I normally just kind of roll my eyes at that shit when it happens in Europe, and I'm like, yeah, whatever, like, because there's, like, definitely feels a lot more level with like levels of like intelligence and even like physiques. I don't have a good physique myself, don't get me wrong, but like you go to a wrestling show, there'd be people with better bodies in the crowd than there would be in the rings. Like it evens out. Like there'd be obviously wrestlers have better physiques than most people in the crowd, but you know, it's kind of a little bit lit level playing field, kind of, you know, less of a thing. And you'd even say like that a lot of the people in the crowd, like in Ireland and England, they're probably like doing a lot better than some of the wrestlers. Not that the wrestlers are doing bad, but a lot of them are pretty young, you know, like their early 20s, and people that go to the shows will be kind of like further on their careers and stuff like that. So that kind of stuff just kind of makes me roll my eyes. But when you come here and you see these wrestlers who seem to have it kind of together, and then the crowd who don't look like they have it together at all, it kind of, you know, kind of adds up a little bit more why this kind of an attitude kind of exists. And when I used to hear it like before, I'd be like, yeah, fuck off, whatever. Like as well, like people be on about like the women back in the day, and they'd be trying to go off with the fellas, and like all those stories from the old wrestlers. And I was always saying like, that's a load of shit. Like I still do think like obviously like they call them rats or whatever, but they're the ones that were the rats, like cheating on their partners. Like they're just trying to degrade the women or whatever to try and make them seem like the bad ones when they're the ones cheating on their family. Like but I never actually kind of believed, it was harder for me to believe that these women did exist that would go to the shows to try and sleep with the wrestlers. And you know, like genuinely, that was kind of baffling to me, because I just can't imagine any of the women I know trying to do that at an independent level. Like, I'm saying this now, people will be like, oh yeah, your mate slept with someone, but no, you know what I mean. Like, but I just didn't see it, but I could definitely see it, especially with this kind of group of women that were to my left. Like, I was like, Jesus, like, this does seem actually like it could be a real thing, which is mad. Teddy Long was like one of the main attractions. He came out of the start of the show. He did his little speech. He did the holler holler. He did the kind of dance thing he does. He said that they might have a little tag team match. They might have some people going one-on-one. So that was kind of fun. I didn't take a photo of him because I thought he'd be back out. Like, he was a GM for the night. But never fucking saw Teddy Long again after that. I wanted to meet him and just get him to do a little video for the Oberhausen Open, just to say, like, we're going to have ourselves a little tag team bowling contest. I was like, oh, the pop people on Twitter are so big. I really want to do this. But he was gone. He was gone, gone, gone. There was also a guy in the tag team match called TA. He was an older guy in a shiny robe. I'm not sure, I think I put a picture of him up on Twitter. He was like an older veteran guy, teaming with a younger guy against two younger guys. But he like looked like the Undertaker. Like, he didn't really look like the Undertaker, but you could pass him for like a fake one in like a novelty show. And it just would have been so perfect if Teddy Long like said, you're going one-on-one with the Undertaker, and it was his old lad. If it didn't happen, he just wasn't there. I don't know where Teddy went. Where are we? Jeff Jarrett versus Gangrel. Yeah, so main event, or semi-main actually, it ended up being. And they came out, and it was played off the heel manager of Chris Dickinson saying that Jeff Jarrett owed everyone money, and that he had a monster to take him on that didn't care about him, and he was going to take his money back. And I can't remember the manager's name. He was like wearing shiny kind of a costume, had a fake like wig and stuff, but he was really funny. Like, he was funny in the Chris Dickinson match, and he was funny here as well. So he was manager of champions, I believe, but he was quite witty all night. I enjoyed him, his stick was good. Sorry, does that take a drink? I'm getting thirsty, this is thirsty work. Jeff Jarrett came out, heroes welcome. Like, the crowd were quite timid, like they'd just shout wild fucking shit every now and again, but there was really no kind of chance like you get in Europe or anything like that. It was all kind of just on your own kind of. Jeff Jarrett came out of the place.
Everybody was going crazy for Jeff Jarrett. Like, even there was a kid in front of me, he must have been about 8, and he was cheering and yelling like mad, and I'm like, how do you even know these two? But he seemed to, and his dad was then told him that the two of them were in WWE. and he just didn't react. I guess maybe the kid already knew that, I don't know. But once the match started, the kid just started playing his 3DS again, not giving a shit. I think he just liked the entrances. Jeff Jarrett came out to the old country music song with a guitar and Slapnuts t-shirt, and he did the strut and all that. And Gangrel came out with his chalice and spat the blood. And yeah, it was, you know, it's what you wanted. It's exactly what you wanted, really, isn't it? But yeah, the match was much better than I was expecting. They're both moving all right. Like, Gangrel, for Jesus, how bad he was looking. I didn't think he was going to be able to get into the ring. But yeah, he was fine. He took a big mad back body drop. And Jeff Jarrett gave an awkward enziguri during the match. And he did, like, his finisher with the, I don't know, his back body side sweep. I don't know what the fuck it's called. You know, the thing where he, like, traps the leg and falls back. That one, yeah. But yeah, it was a little bit brawly as well. They came through the crowd, and I wasn't really, you know, it was like 9:30 on a Friday after an up since 6, and I was like, Jesus, no, I don't need Gangrel and Jeff Jarrett brawling on top of me.
I'm not getting brawled on now by Gangrel and Jeff Jarrett. I'm not in for this now.
My stuff getting ready to move, they came over, but as they were heading Norway, the girl that was standing on the chair beside me, she reaches into her pocket and, like, it shows up a Gangrel figure, I guess, and she probably got it from the trough over, like, at the merch table earlier. But Gangrel saw it and his eyes lit up and he had a big smile. He was delighted. It was like, I don't know, it was like part of the show nearly. Like, he was delighted and he had a big smile, and he got a bit distracted and they went back into the ring again anyway, so I didn't have to deal with that. Jeff Jarrett won, he beat Gangrel, so he got his finisher, and then Gangrel turned on the heel manager and he gave him the impaler, and Gangrel got up for it. Like, he got up, his body was up for that. It was mad. And then the manager ended up being laid out and his wig fell off and everyone was very happy.
The grey-haired fellow, as well during this match, even though he loved all the baby faces and was booing all the heels, or, well, not booing, but, you know, like, sticking his fingers up at him and getting aggressive. He really liked Gangrel as well all the way through the show, even though Gangrel was the heel. He was doing the bow down kind of thing to Gangrel, you know, like they do with Triple H, the kind of worshipy thing. So he had a great time at that. The kid didn't watch any of it. He was on his 3DS. And
speaking of which, there was a guy in the front row, like, probably in his 50s, 40s. And, like, the whole show, like, I'm not joking, the whole show, like, from start to finish, he was FaceTiming the kid. Like, he was showing his son what was happening at the wrestling. Like, the whole thing was just the child's face was...
So after the match then, I was getting a bit anxious. Like, I wanted to get an Uber back to the hotel, and there's a lot of people drinking at the show, and I was worried there might be a rush on them and might be hard to get, and I just kind of wanted to get out of there. So the guy came out for the next match. He was a local guy. He is on a losing streak, but he was super over. The group of women loved this guy, like, they were crazy for him. And his opponent jump attacked him, and it was a I quit, no DQ type match, and I knew it was going to be brawly, so I gathered up my stuff and went to the toilet, and I was like, I might watch something from the back. When I got in, it was already brawling through the crowd and I couldn't see it, and so I was like, time to head now. So I started looking at my phone to get my Uber, and this young person came over to me, and I thought she asked me where the toilet was. I thought it was a woman first because I said about the ladies' toilets, and I just come from there, and I was like, yeah, it's down the hallway there, because it was out of sight. And then they said something else about the ladies' toilets. I couldn't really understand what they were saying because they didn't have many teeth and kind of spoke a bit funny. So I was kind of like walked down to show them a bit where it was, and then they asked me if I wanted to go into the toilet with them and stared at me, and I was like, no. And then I just started like walking away, and then they asked me what my name was, and I don't know why I said my name was Sarah, but I did. And then just kind of walked away, and then the person ended up having an awkward conversation with one of the female wrestlers, or maybe it was a valet. I wasn't sticking around really to figure out, but definitely one of the ladies who was working at the show was feeling really awkward talking to this person too. I managed to find an Uber. I took it straight away, and later I was waiting outside And the person came out with, I believe, their father. And then the father said, come on, son. So I guess it was actually a guy. I really couldn't tell. It did look like a female to me, but I really don't know. It could have been either. The clothes are very unisex, like, and I don't know. It was very strange. They wanted me to go into the bathroom, female bathroom with them, but I don't. Definitely no. So definitely it was time to go home then.
The last thing I'm going to do here on this mini episode is we've got the Oberhausen Open Mystery Draw coming up tomorrow. So everything has been finalized. These are the last remaining people who will be in the draw. It's the secret WXW list. I'm going to read them out now for our listeners. Please do not make a list of these and put them on Twitter. I'll be upset if you do. It's listener only content. Everyone will find out everyone later on today. So this is listener only content. Okay. So our WXW list is as follows. Avalanche, my lovely husband, Alan Cunahan, Tassilo Young, Yearn Simmons, that's Yearn, not Jern. My absolute favourite wrestler, Rotation. He has been such a great help to us in getting all this tournament prepared. He is the best. I love you, Rotation. You're my number one wrestler. You're the best. Then we have Reiner Ringer, Sebastian Homickel, Chris Brooks, Lucky Kid, Dirty Dragon, Christina from Social Media Team, Barris Strong Style on merch, Kevin Erickson, who is one of the referees, I believe, who does mostly the Academy shows, Andre Cartier, he's the French guy, he wears colourful pants, he's a wrestler on the Academy shows also, Norman Harris, he's a breakthrough wrestler at the Academy shows, he looks like an evil Axel Leiter Jr., Shigehiro Irie's manager, Shaggy, who's the clown who works in the media center. He's a legit clown and not just being mean. Then we have Chris Ridgway. Let's see, who else we have? Max Page, Danny Jones, Golden Boy Santos, Veit Muller Veit, Francis Caspin, who I'm not entirely sure if he is playing, but we put him on. He's going to get drawn, then he has to play. And they're all the people that are going to be in the draw. We also have Julian Pace, who is team with Connor Welch, who won Road to 16 Karat Bold in London. We have Killer Kelly, who is teamed with Absolute Andy. We have Absolute Andy, who is teamed with Killer Kelly. I believe Andy has jackets. Or so he says. We have the reigning defending champion, Dunkzilla, who will be, of course, teamed with Mort to defend their championship. Then we have Daisuke Sekimoto, confirmed by the New Japan office today, who will be teamed with Sarah Flan. Lastly, we have a maybe team of AJ Istria and Ishikawa. They're a maybe team. If they play, they will play together. And that's everyone. And I'm really looking forward to the draw done by Dirty Dragon tomorrow. I know he's going to do a great job. I still don't know myself what time it is. So please don't ask me that. Are there places left in the Oberhausen Open? No, there's absolutely not. We are at 133 players. The absolute venue max is 140. If you're like Pentagon Jr., Axel Leiter Jr., actually wrestling Carrot, there might be a place. But even then, you're going to be putting this out. We're going to have to do extra scorecards. I'm in America. Sarah's traveling for her job as well this week. So unless you're wrestling 16 Carrot or at 16 Carrot, you cannot play in the Oberhausen Open now. You can play next time. Please play next time. We're going to have a great time. Okay, Ian, sing us away.
Now the tour is over, we still haven't met Rover. Time to get some rest and recharge. But join us next time, won't you? And we'll discuss all those big issues. Like Jesus, Waller's hands are so damn large. Making friends and making towns and wrestling round the world.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.